It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Atamaria, Rachel. I'm very good, thank you very much. A big day for us because we've got our budget going to the Finance and Performance Committee and then the governing body of council. So we hope to finalise what our budget will look like over the coming 10 years.
All right. Well, let's start by talking about that a little bit. What are some of, I guess, the big goals for the council at the moment in terms of the budget? I mean, COVID's had a huge impact on us as a city, and, you know, in many ways, different parts of New Zealand will be experiencing the impacts of COVID differently. A big one for us is tourism. Is that going to be something that's looked at all in this budget?
Yeah, well, COVID has hit tourism pretty hard, and of course it's hit council pretty hard too, because it's hammered a $750 million hole in our income stream. This is from non-rates revenue. We've been trying to diversify our income from reliance on rates to broader areas, and this certainly didn't help. So this year, it's just about to end, this financial year, we had an emergency budget where we had to cope with a big drop in income. And we've called this 10-year budget, and it's renewed every 3 years, but it plans out over 10. We've called it a recovery budget. And what it's designed to do is help us through that loss of income without any significant loss of service to our people across Auckland. And to maintain our investment in infrastructure. You know, one of the possible responses we could have had to a loss of income was to cut back our big investment programs in, you know, busways or environmental work or housing infrastructure. But that would have been incredibly expensive. When you close a project down that you've started and then open it up again, it costs you literally hundreds of millions of dollars. So we didn't want to do that. And what we've tried to do is we've found savings on one hand. So this year it was $120 million, but the ongoing saving will be about $90 million by being a more slim organisation and more streamlined. We've sold some vacant and surplus properties, which were a cost to us rather than an asset to us to reinvest in other assets. We've got a one-off increase of 5% in rates, followed by a return to 3.5%. Well, compare that to Wellington. Yesterday announced a 16% increase in rates, and Tauranga, which is 17% increase. We're not doing too bad, really.
Yeah, well, we've talked about rates before and you know, how that's been kind of, I guess, playing out across the city. But I did just want to go back to this idea of, you know, what reassurances perhaps you have for people who are working in you know, council-funded institutions or structures that there's not going to necessarily be cuts or changes that materially affect particularly community facilities. That's something that there's been a bit of concern around. Are we going to see a lot of impact on these spaces, or are these going to be, I guess, you know, looked after in this new budget?
Well, in the budget process, in the emergency budget and in the recovery budget, we are working on lower staff numbers than we had previously. So we're probably a couple of hundred people down. We've also had wage restraint and cuts in top salaries. In terms of the community facilities, we're looking at different ways of doing this. One of the problems that we inherited when we were set up as a city is that some parts of the city, Franklin Council was one, I think Rodney was another, they didn't put any money aside for depreciation. Well, that means that when your asset starts to age, there's no money put aside to help maintain it. So we've got a big backlog of maintenance and renewal work that needs to be done in transport, in water, and in community facilities. In transport, we've increased the renewal budget by about 50%. Likewise with water care. For community facilities, we've increased it by $800 million, but we're also looking at different ways of doing it. So the other day I opened a new library and community hub in Takanini. People love it. It's a beautiful library, community kitchen, children's play area, normal library services, place where the community comes together. The difference is we don't own it, we lease it. We paid $2.9 million, I think, to fit it out, instead of the, you know, probably the $25 million that we would have paid to build it. And we're increasingly looking at how we can provide our services to the community in different ways without having to worry about maintaining the asset and without having to have upfront the capital to invest in it before we can provide the service.
So how does that function in terms of who is in charge of the maintenance then for a space like that?
Well, the landlord's in charge of the maintenance, but we've got a 25-year lease on it. And frankly, for the people in Takanini, and I live just outside that area, they don't care who owns it. What they enjoy is the service provided by the library and the community centre that is provided for. Now, like anything, over time, you're paying a lease on that, but what you're not doing, you're not having to wait to construct the facility until you've got the capital available, so you bring forward your plan to provide the service, and then you're not having to worry about the depreciation and maintenance, and you're not locked into a particular site. So if something changes and you want to relocate, then you can do that with greater ease, although with a 25-year lease, you know, that locks both parties into to being there long-term.
It's definitely,
and that's what
a commitment.
You'd expect.
Yeah. Well, yeah. While we're talking about community stuff, we'll come back to rates, not rates, sorry, we'll come back to the recovery budget next week once we hear the announcement today. But I wanted to talk a little bit about something we spoke about a few weeks ago, which is the Onehunga Low Traffic Area Pilot Project, which was set up to try and divert cars from using residential back roads as a way to get around the main exits. There's been a bit of vandalism going on, and that has sparked the local board to wrap this project pilot up early. Now, what's happening there? Because there's been quite a lot of discussion within that community about that being an important thing to be recognising, that there's an issue between cars and pedestrianisation of that space. What's the resolution going forward?
Yeah, well, it was a trial, so it was due to run for about 6 to 8 weeks and probably stopped slightly short of that. And the good thing is that will give us information about what people liked and what they didn't like about it, and then we'll try to learn from that experience. It was run by the Manga Kia Kia Tamaki local board with funding from central government. What sadly it did was it sharply divided views in the community. So there were people that were strongly against it. They said it meant longer travel times because they couldn't rat run, you know, by cutting through the back streets instead of staying on the main roads. They said it caused inconvenience and travel disruption. They said it increased congestion. They said there was too little communication and awareness of the project. On the other hand, those that supported the project said, look, hey, this is great. We can walk and cycle more. We feel safer letting our kids walk to school. We feel more connected to our neighbours and the community. Now, I don't know exactly what the division between it is. I suspect many people within the boundary of the area supported it, and many people who live just outside it but drove through it opposed it.
So how do you get to a space where this is something that we're having to talk about, I guess, more broadly around Tamaki Makaurau as we become a bigger city, and also, we've got the hub in the centre of town, but we have all of these communities all around the super city space who want to be more of a, pleasant community space, not just a transit zone. How do we kind of, I guess, mitigate these conversations going forward and get to a space where there's something that's, preferable for both sides?
Yeah, well, the idea of a pilot or a trial is to do just that. Now, it's really unfortunate, in my view, that people chose to vandalise and get forklifts in to move the barriers and, take the law into their own hands. And there were groups of people there that, I heard from a colleague that's a ward councillor there, Josephine Bartley. She went along to a meeting. You know, it was a local board initiative, but she was roundly abused by people. And there's an old saying that my mate Mike Moore used to say, it's wrong to be right too soon. And maybe in this particular community, that applied. In other communities that we're trialling it in, I think there'll be a greater welcome for it. And I think over time, those that maybe quite quietly said, well, look, we really quite enjoyed this, but they weren't motivated to go out and speak up at a public meeting. I think they may start to assert themselves, and somewhere you've got to square the circle. How do you find a compromise between those that are bitterly opposed and those that are strongly in favour? And it may be that you alter it around the edges, that you look at what the feedback was, and you try to accommodate that and find a happy medium. But that's the work that's being done at the moment by both Waka Kotahi and no doubt by the Manga Kiakia Tamaki local board. But the board itself was divided. There was slightly under half that wanted to terminate it much earlier, and then with the vandalism, that the majority turned, so one was in favour of terminating it slightly early. But I still hope that they look at those results, they say, OK, how can we do this? What can we learn from this? How can we do it better? How can we try to find some ground where those that are opposed are less vehement
sort of
and those that are in favour?
Sort of come to a middle space, yes.
That's generally how you do things.
Let's just very briefly talk about the ports of Auckland, because this is, again, an ongoing and a long conversation, but we're seeing that it might not be till 2023 that we get an idea of where they move, if they move, all of these kind of big questions that that you've been very vocal about as well. Is this a timeline that you are satisfied with, or would you like to see a little bit more haste put on that by the government?
Well, unfortunately, we had three wasted years where the Minister for Infrastructure, Shane Jones, and the chair of this committee that they set up, Wayne Brown, both from the north, both decided that the right place for Auckland's port was in Northland. Now, no vested interest in either of those people, of course. I was really unhappy about the process, and at the debate that we had at the Sky Theatre the other night, one of the guys, quite a nice guy actually, that was on the panel, agreed that the process was shot. It was terrible. But they still wanted Northport because they thought they could do it more quickly. The government then set up its own group, Supri Research Group, to do it, and they ruled out Northport and said that it was a really expensive option, would cost about $6 billion more to do. And they suggested that we look at, and they said the problem with both Northport and Tauranga is that they'd be good for the growth in the next 30 years, but then they would run out of space. And so this group said, you've got to find something that works in a 50 or a 60-year time frame. And they've suggested an offshore port on the Manukau by Wiri, which has some obvious challenges, but they said these are challenges that you can cope with. And they also suggested Firth of Thames, but that would be a much more expensive option. The Port of Auckland can operate where it is for probably another 25, 30 years before it reaches capacity. But ultimately, we want it to go, one, because it will reach capacity, and two, because we can do some wonderful things with the port area that will enhance the whole ambience and the setup of Auckland. So I want it to happen, but before you spend $10, $12 billion on relocating a port, you've got to get it right. And the Upper North Island supply chain study that Wayne Brown chaired was not the right answer, and I believe has been discredited.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's always great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday. I'm sure we'll touch base on the recovery budget, which will be announced this afternoon. So thanks for that.
Okay, thanks, Rachel. All right. Ka kite anō.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you very much.